We are one people, with one will, one resolve, one cause. Our enemies shall talk themselves to death, and we will bury them with their own confusion. We shall prevail.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
Hello, and welcome to the Gullcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah, and I'm joined by three very special gentlemen, special to my heart. We've got Leander Caney. Welcome, Leander.
Hey, Airfun.
I'm not sure what's going on with my voice. Buster Caney is here as well. Buster?
Hello.
Alex Excelsior Heath. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hello.
Gosh, voice, you guys hear that little... Yeah, I'm finally becoming a man, guys.
They dropped, huh?
Yeah, it finally happened for me. Big things are happening for me. I also want to thank our sponsors, Ting. Finally, an honest, straightforward wireless carrier who doesn't overcharge you. Imagine that. In fact, did you know 98% of people who switch their mobile service to Ting can save money? Check out how much you could save. Head on over to cultcast.ting.com. Check out their savings calculator. And we got another sponsor, FreshBooks. Oh, man, isn't FreshBooks great, guys? We all use it. The simple cloud accounting solution that's helping thousands of new entrepreneurs and small business owners save time billing and invoicing, helps them get paid faster, too. Check it out. GetFreshBooks.com. Hey, so much stuff to talk about this week, guys. Got lots of special stories to talk about. But I thought we would start with a segment that... I poll our listeners to make sure that they actually like, because I was like, do you guys want us to keep doing this? And they resoundingly said yes, I think, except for one guy who was like, I actually don't like it.
Well,
and that's Get to Know Your Cultist. That's where we ask a question about ourselves or something that we like, and then we answer, and people get to learn more about us, since everyone's dying to learn more about us. So this time, what I decided to do was go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, and ask people for a question, because people are like, oh, Irfan, your questions are so lame. So fine. I'm going to ask you guys for questions, and you guys gave me a ton of good ones. Let's start with this one from Zachary Kohler. Thanks for the question, Zach. He asks, what was the moment you knew you were in love with Apple? Leander, let's start with you.
When I was in love with Apple.
You're fresh off the plane from the UK.
Actually, that's funny, because I did. I brought two suitcases, and one of them contained a Mac.
Did it really?
Yeah.
In that, do you remember that picture I posted on Instagram, which was like you on the way to the airport with your long, flowing, luscious hair?
Right, yeah.
So in one of those suitcases was a Macintosh?
I think so, yeah, yeah.
Which
pretty
one
sure
was,
it was.
Do you remember?
No, and I don't remember the picture that much. All I could see was this ridiculous hair.
That hair was like straight out of heavy metal circa 1985. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Leander, when did you fall in love with Apple and decide that?
Well, I hate to have the best story of everybody, but...
well, you won't.
It was so when continue. My dad, introduced me to the original Mac back in... it must have been 84.
Uh-huh.
And he, because of his work, he had one of the first ones in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it in this at his work. So he took us down there after hours to go play with it.
They must have been insanely expensive, too, in the UK.
Yeah, I think they were, more than, $10,000,
$12,000. Wow.
Or pounds, even. I don't know, yeah. And that was when it was like $3 to the pound.
Wow.
So it was crazy. Yeah, it was really expensive. And it was all locked up. I mean, they only had one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the AI department at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down there and we made all these drawings in Mac Paint, and then we print them out on this huge dot matrix printer that made the whole building shake.
Oh, yeah. I used to have one of those.
Oh, man. It made a huge racket. Right. And then my dad printed, and then he stuck them all up all over his office. And when his office, all his walls in his office were covered, then he put them up all in the corridors of all these pictures everywhere that me and my brothers made. Mostly crap, but...
oh, that goes without saying.
Yeah, so that was it then, I guess. I mean,
you were
a huge
sitting
revelation.
There, little Leander, and you're like, oh, wow. Wow, Dad and Mum.
Mommy, look at my new picture.
I made a picture for you.
Yeah, it was like we were trying to learn how to use PCs at in high school.
Yeah.
And you know, you had to program the thing in BASIC.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got really beyond making, Hello World programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to load it up on a cassette drive, and then you had to type in some commands, and you go like, well, what's this good for? What is the point? I really didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
And then the Mac, was like a huge revelation. Oh my God, all of a sudden you could do, you could not just doing pictures, but all the word processing. Spreadsheets I didn't really get into, gotta admit that. But it was a huge revelation.
Buster?
Oh, God. I mean, love is such a strong word.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I was like, I'm going to ask this question, and someone's going to be like, love, really?
Buster has commitment issues, so.
Yeah, I do. The first time I think I, made an irrational Apple purchase probably was, when the first iPhone came out, the original one. And, I went to the Apple store on launch day and just, within, a couple seconds of holding it, I was like, this is amazing. And I had to buy it, which it was, $600, which was kind of a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot.
And, that was, I guess, probably when I guess I really liked him a lot.
I hope so. For $600-something plus tax.
Yeah. But that felt really special, that first iPhone. Nothing's had the magic. It's all.
And everyone was cheering at you when you were leaving the Apple store, and they're throwing confetti at you.
Yeah.
Woo! This is great. Alex?
Probably the first night I made love to my iPod Nano.
Well, that's a special time in a young man's life.
Yeah, I think it was a red one, Project Red.
The Nano. I like the way he shows the Nano.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, it's, dimensions just work out there.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, first Apple product I ever owned was iPods, and didn't get a Mac until several years after I was using, iPods and stuff like that. So I would say the iPod was the gateway drug for me, and then the Mac, and then the iPhone, and every other thing known to man. But I'm still proud to say that I haven't bought a time capsule or any of Apple's more ridiculous products that they
overpriced. The time capsule is great.
It's just so expensive.
It is expensive, but it's a fantastic router, and just having the backups happen automatically, even when your computer's closed, now that there's PowerNap, is really, really nice. It's overpriced. I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, as is most.
For us affluent people who make a lot of money podcasting, it's not a big expense. It's just, buy whatever you want.
Right.
Was that it for you, Alex?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I, unlike you guys, actually had a moment where I realized that I was in love with Apple stuff. And I know this because I actually wrote a blog post on my personal blog, which of course no one read, talking about it, because I used to be major PC guy. I used to build PCs. I loved PCs, and I would say that I would even make fun of Apple people, because I just thought the only reason people liked Apple was because of the marketing. I was like, oh, the marketing's everything, right? Like, people who buy Apple stuff are idiots. They overspend for everything. And then I ended up, I went to university and studied programming, and I got a job as a programmer during the latter part of my college experience, when I was experimenting with new things,
So you're not just a surfer, dude.
I program too, dude. So they gave me a Mac, because this whole shop was Mac oriented, and I was not super happy about it. But when in Rome, you got to do what you have to do, right? So I started using this thing, and the more I used it, the more I fell in love with it. And I was sitting in, I'm going to call it the quad. Isn't that what every college hangout area is called? And I was in the quad, right? And all the lighting was really nice, because it was this brand new building. And I was sitting there typing on this really beautiful MacBook. And I had a moment when I was listening to iTunes, and I forget who I was listening to, but I looked down at this computer and I was like, this thing is amazing. This is the best computer I have ever used. And from that point forward, I became an avid Apple fan. And I even got myself one of those ridiculous $400 iPods. $400 for an iPod. Remember when they were just color? Uh-huh. And they had the click wheel and everything. And from that point forward, I was just an Apple fanboy all the way, and started drinking the Kool-Aid. And that was my moment. I think, Leander, that piece that I wrote, when I sent you my writing sample to write for Cultomatic, you asked me to send you some examples of my work. So I think I sent you that.
Oh, really? That gibberish got you in?
Yeah. Yeah, you hated it. You were like, this is not at all what I'm looking for. I didn't know you at all, right? And you replied back, you're like, this is not what I am looking for at all. And I, feeling very dejected, I was like, oh, man, I thought this was a great piece. I love for Apple.
Yeah, but I had a good cry. Yeah, I should have stuck to my initial assessment with that one.
Yeah, your first judgment was probably right. But I weaseled my way in nonetheless, and here we are today. But anyway.
The thing I like about Apple is I had that same experience. You know, like, didn't you have that with the iPod and the Mac and with the iPhone and then with the iPad 2?
I agree.
Like,
with
every single one was like, this is awesome. You know, it was super exciting how the things worked, and they were so intuitive.
Mm-hmm. They were, and I think it was the little things about my Mac that really kind of amazed me. Like the fact that, do you guys remember iChat? There was little avatars and you could choose your photo and stuff. And one day I decided I was going to try and grab a picture off my desktop and drop it onto the picture of my avatar in iChat to change it. And on a PC, that would never work. But I was like, I'll just give it a shot. And I tried it and it worked. And I was like, this is incredible. Like they anticipated all the things I was going to try. And they made those things work, and I think that, for me, was what made it such a great experience, is you just intuitively know how to use it, even though you've never used one before. It's probably even more so like that with kids when they pick up an iPad for the first time. Can you imagine that being your first computer?
Yeah, right.
I think my first computer, I had to type, like, run, space, and then the application name just to get it to actually load. I mean, we didn't even have GUIs on my first computer.
Yeah, right. So yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
Leander had to write the program first before he used it. Like, if you wanted to use a program, you actually had to write it.
Right. And I didn't get very far with that.
All his program ever did was say go or hello world.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks to Zachary Kohler for that great question. And we would love if you guys would contribute questions on our Facebook page. And actually, we're going to start doing something new. I want to get you guys more involved. You guys are always suggesting on Twitter great things that we should talk about. So every Tuesday morning, we're going to put up a post on facebook.com/thecultcast. And we're going to give you an opportunity to suggest these questions, A, and B, also just topics that you want us to talk about. And every show, we'll see how this goes. We'll select one topic that people like, and the ones with the most likes we'll probably end up talking about. And that way you guys can kind of curate things that happen on this show, and we can kind of have people voting by thumbs up on which things they want us to talk about and which things they don't. So every Tuesday morning, we're going to start doing that. So head on over to facebook.com/TheCultCast, and we would love to have you guys be more involved. Okay, so we have a ton of Apple stories to talk about. We've gone through and carefully curated a big list that Alex went through and said, no, and then added some good stuff. But before we do that, I do want to give a thanks to our sponsors. We've got two great sponsors this episode. Ting, T-I-N-G, by the way. Finally, an honest, straightforward wireless carrier doesn't overcharge you. Guys, Ting might save you a lot of money, and I love having them as a sponsor because you guys know my angst relationship with carriers who are always trying to screw you. And so if you're looking for an inexpensive carrier, definitely try Ting. No contracts with Ting. Simple billing. They never overcharge you for stuff. There's no weird charges on your bill. And actually, they have really great customer service. I'm sure you guys have either experienced or know someone who has called a carrier and talked to someone who really wasn't able to help you and just probably infuriated you. Ting has great customer service, and they train their technicians to be able to solve your problems. And when you call them, guess what? A human answers. Imagine that. Go check out how much you could save at cultcast.ting.com. Check out their savings calculator. And if you decide to sign up for service, you can save $25 off a new phone or a new line of service. I want to thank them for sponsoring. And I also want to thank FreshBooks. Alex uses FreshBooks. I use FreshBooks. Leander uses FreshBooks. Buster, do you use FreshBooks?
Sometimes, yeah, I use FreshBooks, yeah.
Everyone uses FreshBooks because they are the simple cloud accounting solution that helps us all invoice our clients, get paid faster. If you have a business where you're doing such things, maybe you're a photographer, you're a designer, you definitely need to check out FreshBooks because they're going to make it super duper easy to manage your clients, manage your expenses, and then actually get paid by your clients without having to do a ton of manual labor. I love, love, love FreshBooks. Go check them out. GetFreshBooks.com. And in the section where they ask you how you heard about them, make sure you enter CultCast because, A, that's going to let them know you heard about them through us, which helps us. But also, they give away a birthday cake every day to a new subscriber. So you can win a birthday cake. And everyone loves birthday cake, right? And if you have a British friend, they love it when you take the cake and smash it right in their face. So make sure you try that.
Let's just open my mouth. Some of it goes in.
Hopefully, they're surprised enough that their mouth is open and some of the cake goes in there. So getfreshbooks.com. Make sure you enter CultCast in the How Did You Hear About Us page. And then Ting, cultcast.ting.com. All right, guys, let's get to some Apple stories. I thought we could start with a quick tip. Have you guys ever had this experience? You are on the web, you're browsing stuff, and all of a sudden something starts playing in the background. You're not sure what tab is playing.
No, mm-hmm. Oh, man, all the time.
Leander, I can vouch. Leander has like 50 tabs open at a time sometimes. 50?
150.
He has more than anyone else I've ever seen. I didn't even know that a browser would let you have that many tabs open.
And well, I've got multiple tabs open on my Mac at work, my MacBook at home, my iPad, my iPhone, and my other iPad at work.
He has literally never closed a tab. He just turns his computer off, and that's how they get reset. So... if you use Chrome browser, which I'm a big fan of, now they have a little feature where if a tab starts playing something, it'll show a little play icon in the tab itself so you can quickly identify which tab is the culprit. So another great reason to use Chrome. Alex, you're a Safari guy, huh?
Yeah.
See, I remember that. But I think all the rest of us are Chrome, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
dude, Safari Cloud Tabs is awesome.
It is really nice. But, you know, Chrome syncs your tabs across devices as well. So, and I think it actually works a little bit better than Safari does as far as syncing your tabs and stuff. But their browser on iOS isn't my favorite. That's the only problem.
Yeah, I don't like it. And it doesn't have the default integration that Safari does.
Exactly. And it's not as fast as Safari because Apple locks that down.
Well, I'm glad I just convinced everyone to switch.
Or they're switching to Chrome. They're probably actually all using Chrome anyway.
Yeah.
Alex, you want to talk about Beats Music Service. And I kind of question why anyone would want to use a new music service. But you want to talk about it. Please, would you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, as you know, Dr. Dre makes the beats.
He does make great beats.
Leander, you actually saw Dr. Dre recently, didn't you?
Yeah. At CES, we went to the Beats party. With Kendrick Lamar, and we watched Dr. Dre make out. actually, I probably shouldn't say that. I hope.
Leave that right there. Yeah. Not with Kendrick Lamar, though. We're just going to put that out there. That is not the allegation here.
That's right. He was killing his vibe, though.
So that must have been the night after we left, right, Leander?
It was, yeah.
Jeez, of course.
Yeah.
Of course it was. Of course.
But yeah, so Beats makes the headphones, but now they also have Beats Music, which is actually, I think they bought Moog, M-O-G, however you want to say it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that's what this is based off of.
Oh, okay.
And so it's $10 a month like Spotify, but if you're an AT&T customer, you get it for $15 a month with up to 5 users that can use it. So like if you have a family plan with... you know, several people on AT&T, you can get a pretty good deal on it.
Cool. I thought you were about to say if you're an AT&T customer, you get it for 15. Like, that's a deal.
Yeah, if you're an AT&T customer.
That's the kind of discount you get with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. But it's, you know, it's a really nicely designed app. And it's got kind of the same, they say they have the same catalog that, you know, Spotify and RDO and everyone else does. So it's going to be hard, I think, for them to get people to switch over. But their app is nice.
It's kind of unique.
Yeah, it's pretty unique looking. It's gotten a pretty good reception. They've got this one kind of neat feature called the sentence, and it's like you put in 3 different things to describe. They're all about like curation, human curation, and algorithms and all that for like recommendations. So you say like, I'm at a party and I feel like spooning with my BFF to reggae. And it's
a very
supposed
specific
to like
music need.
Yeah. But there's like, you can like refresh all of the options and stuff like that, mix and match it. So you just get weird music suggestions. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like the strength of the app is like the way it suggests music. Also, like when you're setting it up, it just asks you to kind of pick a couple genres that you like and then artists also within those right. that you like, and then creates a bunch of different options for you to try out. It's pretty.
Well, that was a big selling point, Buster, right? The music recommendation. And how do you think it works?
So far, I've only used it a little bit, but I like it so far. I think one thing that they need to do is make it more social so that you're adding friends. Unless you know somebody's specific ID, you can't add them from Facebook or Twitter. And that's kind of a bummer because I always like seeing what other people on a service
really?
Are into.
I turn off all the social stuff.
Oh, like, do
on
you?
Spotify, yeah, on Spotify, I hide everything that I do.
I don't know how annoying it is on Spotify, but on RDO, it's just like under one section and you just see like what's popular that other people are playing.
I use that on Spotify all the time. Huh, interesting.
That's the thing. There's very few people that I actually care about their music recommendations.
I only follow a couple people. So, you
plus,
know.
Alex yeah. doesn't want them to see that he's been spinning Backstreet Boys for the last 2 weeks.
Right. Exactly.
That's the bigger right. thing.
And it's just like the problem with Spotify is that it ties into Facebook. And so it's like all of your Facebook friends, all, 900 of the people that you don't even care about are all of a sudden like, here's what they're listening to.
Yeah.
And you're right. I only care about like a few people. But that Spotify is good for like sharing playlists. And that's just more of an intentional thing. But you've got like an inbox. And like if I actually want to share a playlist with somebody, I'll do that. But I won't share my activity on Facebook or anything like that.
Mm. I didn't realize that Beats had bought Mog. I thought they were just trying to build their own service. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Another music service, right?
No,
Beats. But this actually sounds like it might be a thing, like the people would actually use. And the $15 a month family plan, at least to me, might be useful because, spend $10 a month, you don't want to do that for every person.
Yeah, it's all useful to me.
Yeah. And sorry, go ahead, Leander.
Go on, Alex.
Somebody say something.
I was just going to say that. They've got a 7-day free trial, and then AT&T customers get a 90-day free trial. So you basically get 3 months of it for free.
Really? That's a good deal.
So AT&T's obviously floating something their way.
All right.
And no ads. They only do. That's the one thing, though, because I know Spotify and RDO, a lot of their user base is made up of people that are using it for free with ads, and that's how they're making a lot of money. And Beats is not doing any free version. So, they're betting that people are just going to want to buy into the experience, and I'm not sure it's going to. They obviously are funded pretty well, but I don't know how it's going to play out for them.
Boatloads of money. I think I think they're right. That's where it's going. I mean, I've been paying for Spotify for a couple of years now, and we share a membership. Don't tell Spotify, but we share a membership between the kids. And every time I get on it, I get kicked off because some kid has signed on.
How many people do they let you have concurrently at the same time on Spotify?
Just one.
Oh, yeah.
They need to add
like a Netflix
thing.
Do they have a family plan?
I don't think they do. I was saying they need to add like a Netflix where you can have like three people streaming
They
at
totally
once.
Do, right?
Yeah, with different profiles and everything.
But we've got used to, the whole family's got so used to using it that something like, the Beats, if it's got the same catalog, that's right up my alley. 15 a month.
Oh, yeah.
For up to how many people?
Yeah, for five.
Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's great.
Finally, you can listen to more than 10 seconds of music at a time, Leander, before you get booted off.
I have to phone my daughter up and get her to get off or something like that, but then she can, then she kicks me straight back up again.
Hey, you guys probably heard about the person who was in the movie theater wearing the Google Glass, and the SWAT team came in and did a full body cavity search to make sure they weren't recording the movie. I think I exaggerated that story only slightly. But a guy was in a movie theater and was wearing Google Glass, was escorted out because they thought that he was recording the movie. And I guess it was like the Department of Homeland Security came and like frisked him and all this, held him hostage for like 3 or 4 hours. Well, now Google Glass is going to be possibly in the form of contact lenses. Is that right, Buster?
Not really. They don't have a camera on the contacts lens, but they did announce that they have a smart contacts lens that lets you know when like your blood sugar's low. So perfect for people with diabetes. And there's like a LED light on it that'll, you know, tell you when you need to like take some candy or something or insulin. So it looks pretty awesome though. And they said they're looking into like other systems to use it for. So who knows? Maybe they could put a camera or a TV screen on there eventually.
I was kind of hoping that you'd be able to wear them to the movie theater without having the Department of Homeland Security show up.
You have the camera and the TV all right there on the lens. That'd be pretty awesome.
Wouldn't it be crazy, though? I wonder if they're showing you, you know, things that are illuminated in your lenses and you can see them, if other people looking at you could see those same things. So if they could see, like, lights in your eyeballs and stuff.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Like the
especially when you go to a rave.
Oh, shoot.
And everyone is, you know, taking those strange white pills and just like
they'll be huge at Burning Man.
Your eyeballs are glowing. Alex, you wanted to talk about iOS 7 and you just jailbroke it for the first time, which I was surprised to hear because I know that you're an avid jailbreaker and I just kind of assumed that you had jailbroken right from the get-go. But you decided now was the time, and
yeah, it was weird because it's been out for like a month, and
the jailbreak has.
Yeah, and one of the main reasons I waited is because it's had so many problems. Like it took them almost 2 to 3 weeks to get it to where it was actually like usable. Like the you could technically jailbreak, but Cydia wasn't updated. Like all of these like core things that because they did it so silently, like nobody knew about it, which was a whole other thing. But. So it had a lot of problems early on. So that's what I was waiting on. I was doing some traveling and I didn't want to, you know, compromise my main 5S. So I wanted to make sure everything was stable. But now that everything's stable, I was like, I still didn't feel the urge. You know, every time I've been like, oh, I need a jailbreak to get this. Mm-hmm. And this year was like the first time that I was like, you know what? I don't actually need to do this. Like, I don't have something that I rely on. Like, it used to be like 3G unrestrictor to be able to, you know, like do FaceTime over 4G or like, you know, different things that iOS couldn't do, but you can do pretty much everything now. Like, I think the main thing that is still lacking is Byte SMS, which is like quick replies for incoming messages where you don't have to go into the messaging app, the messages app. Mm-hmm. That's the main reason I would want a jailbreak anymore. And it's only like one thing. So, you know, I was kind of interested, you know, Tweak devs are doing stuff with Touch ID that's kind of interesting. There's something called Bio Unlock that's coming out, and it's where you can use Touch ID on the 5S to unlock your Mac.
That would be
over Bluetooth. That would be cool, yeah.
If so, Touch like you ID could have
well,
if it worked, yeah. But like you could, so you could have an index finger unlock your Mac, and then your thumb still unlock your phone. So
that would be cool.
So yeah, there's some cool things that people are doing. I'm surprised actually with the variety of things that devs can do with Touch ID, even though it's, you know, supposedly so secure it can't be accessed. But I mean, you can, there's a couple other tweaks that let you lock and unlock certain apps. Like you can set Touch ID to a certain app. So like if you're banking or something like that. So nothing like super revolutionary, but and like all the themes bore me now. Like I've actually gotten so used to iOS 7 and it's so distinct that like all of the themes are so, they're so, I don't want to say skeuomorphic, but they're so like
2011.
They're so iOS 6-ish looking. Like they don't really
bore.
You know,
they bring back so some bore shadows and you know
all that ugly, you know, gradients and all
oh
that.
Oh my gosh.
But there's just nothing like, you know, like there's one thing that takes away that, you know, that dumb missed section of notification center, you know, where you've got today notifications and then missed. So it like cleans up some things, like you can clean up iOS 7, but there's nothing that is super revolutionary.
So you just
and
jailbroke
I think
just because you wanted to be able to
well,
reply
there
from
is
your
some
text messages without going into the app, essentially.
No, I mean, mainly because like, I want to be able to cover, like, if some cool tweaks do come out, I want to be able to test them.
Sure.
But, you know, and there are a couple things I want, and it's so easy now. I mean, it took literally, you know, 2 minutes that I was worried about battery life and all that, but now that it's so stable, I'm not worried about that anymore. you just have to be careful with what you install. If you do jailbreak for the first time, don't install like 50 things at once, because the odds are one of those things is going to clash with something else and it's going to cause your battery to drain or something else. So you just have to be smart about it.
Your battery lasts like 30 minutes and you're not sure why.
Right. But there's some cool stuff. Like there's one called Controllers for All, where you can use a PS3 controller with iOS games that have the made for iPhone, you know, controller support. Mm-hmm. So there's some cool stuff, but I'm just waiting for something that's like, you know, like, because the jailbreak community is where the first third party app store came from for iOS. It's where tethering first came from. It's where, you know, multitasking was the only, you know, only way you could multitask back in the day was if you jailbroke. Like there's no real breakthroughs happening anymore. Mm-hmm. It's mostly just all of these like little cosmetic things.
I saw some discussion the other day about multitasking in iOS 7, and there was some speculation about there's going to be some new multitasking in, you know, next year.
Well, I'm sure there will be. I mean, they need to improve it. It's nice, but it's super basic right now.
Are there any good tweaks in
There's studio? Not. That's the thing. There's not really. I mean, that edit, you know, tweaking multitasking is such a core part of the OS. It's very hard to do, and there's been very few tweaks that have, you know, change the multitasking experience, because it requires a lot of expertise to be able to reverse engineer all that stuff, because that's such a huge part of the OS.
Yeah. What about multi-slot copy paste?
That would be, I haven't seen that. That would be interesting. I don't know. Killian's writing a piece that I agree with. That's basically like, I don't really have a reason to jailbreak anymore with iOS 7. And I really haven't seen a reason to jailbreak yet.
Man, I could have written that article 2 years ago.
Yep. Well, it's a special kind of person that wants to jailbreak in the first place.
Yeah, that's been the big problem. I mean, hasn't it really? I mean, but if the jailbreak scene, I mean, you know, is pretty vibrant with a whole bunch of different experimentation, then, I mean, you know, there's a big community of people that like to tweak and try new things.
Yeah.
Right?
There's always that going on, and there is still a vibrant community, but it's just not super exciting. Like I'm approaching it as an outsider now after not doing it for so long, and like looking from the outside in, it's not as exciting as it would appear, just because people aren't doing crazy stuff like back in, you know, iOS 4 days and stuff, where like it was the only way you could do a lot of things that you can do by default now anyway. So why jailbreak?
Yeah, it's a pity. Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's stuff that comes out that's pretty, you know, new and cool. But for now, it's kind of.
Hey, well, speaking of new and cool, VLC, the video player app that a lot of us know and love, got an update on iOS, and it's actually they added some pretty cool features. So now the app lets you integrate with Google Drive and Dropbox. So if you've never used VLC, one of the cool things about it is it lets you play videos that you really couldn't play on your iOS device natively. So MKV files and, you know, all those
Flash movies, really.
You know, and things that you maybe have downloaded from other places and off the internet, you know, such things. Eyebrow raise.
Well, isn't everything in MP4 these days on those sites? That
say what?
I think they code everything in MP4 these days.
MP4 is really popular for mobile stuff, but for things that are not mobile, MKV is really popular because it allows them to retain subtitles and stuff. So anyway, VLC has let you do that for a little while. But the cool thing is now you can drop a video into Dropbox or onto Google Drive, which of course is really easy to do. And then you can stream it from VLC. So it makes it easier getting it to your iOS device. I actually haven't tried this yet. I installed it. I haven't used it in a while. And I'm going to try streaming a video from Dropbox. Have any of you guys tried the streaming functionality yet?
No, I haven't. I use Enfuse. I don't use the VLC app. So,
and Enfuse does the same thing.
Yeah, it's got like a web viewer. It's super intuitive. It's like you just drag and drop from your desktop onto the web app, and it uploads it, and you know, then you can use Dropbox.
Uploads it where? To your device?
No, like you can host things through like through VNC or whatever, and send them, you know, wirelessly to the app on the iPad or the iPhone.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, people should check it out. If you're interested in like a VLC alternative, look at Enfuse. in the App Store. It's really well done. Uh-huh. What I really like about it is that we're like, because usually you're using VLC to add like .avi movies and like movies that don't have metadata, you know, mm-hmm. they don't have artwork or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Infuse is really cool because it will automatically recognize that stuff and pull it in, and it puts it in this really nice like movie theater marquee interface with, you know, big, you know, pictures from the movie stills and the title and the credits and a short summary and the length and all that. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'll say.
It's not free like VLC is, but it's
oh, nice. I hate it. That sounds awful. By the way, did I mention we're gonna be doing a Faves and Raves next week? So I don't know, ooh, Alex. Maybe that'll be your. We haven't done one of those.
Oh, I got Fave and Raves for days now.
I got some good ones saved up. So we'll definitely do one of those next week. Let's talk about the Mac, guys. Turned 30. I think today, the actual day today, turned 30 years old. And also, was it the iconic 1984 commercial that turned 30 today as well?
I think so.
Okay. That sounds great. So let's just go with it. Let's just go with a yes.
Yes.
I thought today was the day that the commercial ran.
Saturday was the actual Mac day.
I think so. What did you say, Buster?
I thought it was yesterday.
Let's not get all tied up with details. You guys know I don't like those.
It's a good thing we run a
tight ship.
Yeah.
No one even knows that we're recording anyway. This could be the day. They would never know.
We should have stuck with that. Yeah, the listener would have thought it was their fault, right?
It is their fault. It's your guys' fault. So let's talk about. Let's talk about that 1984 ad, right? So that. People call it iconic. It is. I think it probably was iconic in the day, and it was the one with that like athlete running with the hammer and that person talking in a really low voice. I should just play it for everyone. Mm-hmm. They'll know it. But Alex, you were saying that there's a rumor that they are remaking that and they're going to play it for or play it during the Super Bowl this year. Is that right?
Well, no, Lee Clow,
yeah.
Who I'm sure Leander's more familiar with than I am, but he's like the director of one of the creative ad houses that Apple's worked with for years. Mm-hmm. And he was like overseer of that original ad, mm-hmm. The 1984 one. And he like tweeted a couple days ago, like, going to be a good Super Bowl because the Mac's turning 30, you know, like winky face or something like that.
Okay.
So I guess the theory is that...
winky you know, face?
The theory...
Something else in England.
The theory is going to be that Apple's going to do like a tribute, like a 30th anniversary commercial for the Mac, probably something...
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Like, here's how far the Mac's come. Probably like the iPad where they're showing it being used in all these crazy situations and...
Wow,
which would be kind of nice because
different coffee shops, right?
Yeah, Macs and coffee shops everywhere.
Libraries, classrooms.
I don't know. Yeah, they focus so much on iOS for TV ads that it's kind of weird if you ever see a Mac ad. I don't know when the last time they did a Mac ad.
Yeah, when was the last Mac ad?
It was a while ago.
The
Mac versus PC ads, obviously, those are the most well known. But they
I don't know why they ever stopped those. By the way, those were so
probably because Justin Long wanted to move on with his life.
Yeah, he was probably getting paid.
They did them for like 5 years.
Was he really? Were they doing them for that long?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. But it seemed like 3 to 4 years at least.
Wow, I think they should
last Mac
them.
Ad they did was like for the Mac Pro. Like that one was kind of like that teaser ad that went everywhere.
That's true. Yeah, the Mac Pro ad. But like for their iMacs or their MacBooks or anything, they really don't do anything.
Well, hey, I thought it'd be fun if we could review some of the Macs of yore, because since it is the 30th anniversary of the Mac today at this very moment, I thought it'd be cool to review some older ones because they weren't always so sleek and slick, but surprisingly, I was looking through this really great slideshow that Mashable put together, and they list the ads of a lot of these. And if you think Macs are expensive today, holy moly, they were way more expensive 30 years ago. So let's start with the Lisa 1983. Apple debuted this model and it took them more than 3 years to make, cost nearly $10,000, and that's about $25,000 by today's standards. Cost them $50 million to develop. It's a good-looking computer, though. Let's see here. Oh, the Macintosh 128K, the one that had that little curly Q hello on the screen, introduced in 1984, had 128K of RAM. Who could ever use that much RAM? That's crazy. 128K? What would you do with all that?
Well, it was actually underpowered, and luckily, against Steve Jobs' orders, they fixed it so that it could be updated in the next revision to 512, which came out, like, I think 6 months later.
Yeah, it did. That was the very next one.
Kind of saved the Mac. It was going to be, if they hadn't done that, they wouldn't have sold any. But we have iFixit is doing a teardown of the 128K.
Are they really?
Yeah,
what a great idea.
Yeah, well, it was my idea, and I got Adam Rosen to send him a 128K Mac all the way from Boston, so he shipped it overnight, and they're doing it now. So,
awesome.
It'll be available Friday morning. It looks really sweet, and it's funny. It's witty. They did a really great job of writing it up.
Oh, so it was your idea, and then you had Adam send them one, because Adam runs, a vintage Mac museum?
The vintage Mac museum, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're going to break it, but are they going to put it back together?
Well, yeah, I hope so.
I mean, can you put one of those things back together after taking it apart?
Well, you know, the weird thing is that it was he cobbled it together from parts anyway, so he never actually had a complete one. He put all the parts into a case, and then they're tearing it down. He's hoping they're going to repair it for him at the same time.
Oh, because it had a problem. Wow. So that's going to go up on Cult of Mac on Friday morning, or on iFixit?
It's going to go up on iFixit. We'll have a post about it.
Oh man, that's going to be great. Yeah, high quality pictures of that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Awesome. Looks really good.
Good idea, Lander. Remember the Macintosh Portable? I'm sure
the Macintosh.
The Macintosh was a lesser known model. The Portable, 16 megahertz. Whoa, you could probably do some serious gaming on that thing. And it was 16 pounds. That's probably Christopher Walken's first computer. What do you think?
I would say yes. Indubitably.
He's got such a good vernacular, that Christopher Walken. Oh, the PowerBook, 1991. This was made popular again on Sex and the City. Man, that thing's a good-looking computer. Oh, the iMac. Remember the iMac? I have a friend that actually still has one of these things. Those really colorful...
with the hockey puck mouse and everything?
Hockey puck mouse and everything. You know, the Macs have always looked good, even for their time. Even the Lisa, I think, looks really nice. And, of course, now they look super-duper nice. In any case, you guys should go check out this Mashable... slideshow. It's actually really cool. Just search for Mac Computer Evolution on Mashable. Good job, Mashable. Hey, guys, let's wrap up with this. Buster.
Yeah?
I know you saw this. Bill Gates was on Jimmy Fallon.
Yes, he was.
And they were having a conversation, and Jimmy Fallon, as he does, was telling him how great he was.
Yeah, he was just gushing about Bill Gates. Just, oh, my gosh. I love you, Bill Gates.
Literally, that's what he was doing. And then... he kind of noticed that Bill Gates was, he kept looking at his desktop because he had something sitting on there that maybe was
over on the corner of his desk with his MacBook Pro just sitting there. And just for some reason, Fallon just like mid interview is just like, sorry, hold on, let me close this.
And so they're putting it away.
So, like, it was, so disrespectful. And then there's also like an iPad and a magic mouse on the desk too.
Yeah.
That he like stashes.
He realized he had a whole plethora of Apple items that needed to be put away. I wonder if Bill Gates lets his kids have iPods now.
No, he said he doesn't.
Still doesn't to this day?
The last I heard, which was like 2 years ago, I think we posted something where he said he doesn't let his kid have iPods.
I know, but now that he's not at Microsoft, I'm kind of like, I wonder if he's still... Because, you know, the Microsoft Zoom is gone.
Is he not on the board still?
Yeah,
I think
he is.
He still is, yeah.
He just denied he was going to go back and save the company.
He's not heading back, huh?
No.
He's got his charity.
Good.
You should see his offices, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation offices downtown are just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. He's got a new thing going, man. I think he's passionate about technology, but he's obviously more passionate about philanthropy.
Yeah.
And if you guys follow him on Twitter, he's always using Twitter to raise awareness for different causes. Some of them are things that you've heard of, some of them not. And I mean, he's obviously really passionate about it, but it made for a really great moment on Jimmy Fallon. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on YouTube, and I guess we have it on cultomatic.com as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just search for the awkward moment when Bill Gates discovers Jimmy Fallon uses a Mac. Watch it on Cultomac instead. All right. Well, hey guys, let's wrap it up there. I think that's enough cult cast for 1 week. What do you guys think?
I thought that was a lengthy conversation.
Yeah. Conversations about various topics. Hey, but you know what? If you want, you can join us on Twitter. We have multiple conversations there every single day. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Leander is L. Caney. Buster's B-S-T-3-R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. And hey, head over to facebook.com/TheCultCast. Let us know what we should talk about next show. This has been The Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I'm making a winky face right now, Leander.
Oh, no.
I'm making one right now.
Say that. It gives me a horrible look.
I'm going to send you a picture. Are you next to your phone? Check iMessage. Hello.
Oh, hey, man. What's up?
What's going on?
Yeah, you know, same old.
Indeed, I do.
The gym and the fucking trainer was torturing me.
You have a trainer?
Yeah, I signed up with a trainer.
If your UK, if your UK friends could see you now.
I know.
How highbrow you are.
I'm really precious. He hands me a bottle of iced water, you know. It actually is. It's a blue collar gym.
Oh, is it?
And
so what does he have, like a car antenna that he whips you with when you're not lifting
enough? He's covered in tattoos and he chucks this, you know, gets me like, there's all these guys that look like they just came out of prison in there. In fact, I think they did.
They all have like Nazi tattoos.
The white guys. Yeah, it's a pretty funny place.
Is that a pretty rough area of town?
Nah, not really. It's just like, you know, it's like, I guess, the last place in San Francisco where there's like blue collar people. Yeah, it's better. It's much better than the other gyms, you know, and it's like everyone's in this. But well, they're either a big hairy bear.
Those are the best kind of buff guys.
Oh, they're super buff. Like, it's actually there's two body types.
You mean like buff body types?
No, buff and really not buff.
Okay.
The big hairy bears, they're all got huge bear guts. And
yeah, but those are the guys who you want around if like a truck falls on you, because they're the ones that are going to just lift it into the air and throw it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I used to go to a really weird one, which for some reason was like really popular with these gigantic steroid lesbians. And they were really fucking aggressive. They would keep bumping you.
Well, yeah, they were on steroids.
I know, exactly. That's what I was thinking. I couldn't figure it out at first. I'm like, what the fuck, you know? But then I figured, like, they must be on roids. It's roid rage.
Wow. I almost spit my water out when you said that. I wasn't expecting you to go that direction. You said steroids. I automatically thought men.
They were really, you know, these are the kind of chicks that, you know, Napoleon Dynamite. They all look like that. They had stars and striped bikinis and that kind of thing.
You want to get a roundhouse kick to the face while I'm wearing these bad boys? Forget about it.